Hello and welcome back to the Cricket Scotland podcast. I'm your host, Clara Sablitsky, and later on I'll be speaking to Muneeb Iqbal, one of Scotland's newest coaches, about his journey both as a Scotland player and now as a Scotland coach, with a little bit of a look ahead to the Men's T20 World Cup coming up in June. But before I speak to Muneeb, can we just talk about the fact that the season is finally starting? For some people, on Saturday. I feel like that's come out of absolutely nowhere, but at the same time, I for one have been counting down through what has felt like the longest winter, potentially ever. I mean, I don't think that claim is going to have any scientific backing whatsoever, but that's what I'm choosing to believe. Some of us, at least, are getting to enjoy some sunshine. Scotland women are out in Abu Dhabi at the moment, getting their T20 World Cup Global Qualifier campaign underway. As you're listening to this, they will have played Uganda yesterday, but I am recording a little bit in the past, so I don't want to say anything that's going to jinx that result, but I hope it's gone as well as their warm-up games have gone. I think they've had an incredible run so far getting prepared for this series, and I can only hope that those performances continue into this campaign. Their next game will be tomorrow against Sri Lanka, and that game will be available to watch live and for free on ICC TV. Muneeb, welcome to the show. It's an absolute pleasure to have you on. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. Glad to be on. Thank you for having us.
Oh, you're so welcome. You might not thank me at the end.
Oh, no. It's going to get difficult now.
It's just actually we're not talking anything about cricket. I'm just going to ask you really hard questions. What we are going to talk about is UK Coaching Week and your role as a coach at the moment and how you kind of got into coaching. We'll start there and then maybe we'll go backwards. So Muneeb, do you want to start by telling the listeners a little bit about you, a little bit about your cricketing journey, maybe where you started, what you're doing now?
Is this in coaching terms or just in general?
General cricket life.
Yeah, I started playing really young. It was really my dad's influence. He just loved the game. Enjoyed playing and put a bat in my hand when I was a kid, and just went on from there, to be honest with you. And cricket for me started at a very young age. I managed to get to good places at a very, very young age, and it was just it was a good thing and a bad thing at the time. But I'm in coaching now, and here we are.
There's a little bit in between getting a bat put in your hand as a child and then coaching now.
It's a long way. You know what? See, it's something that obviously cricket has been a part of my life since, you know, I was a kid. It was the first thing that I ever kind of introduced to in every way. It was enjoyment. It was playful. It was serious. It was everything that you can actually, you know, as a kid, especially growing up through early 2000s and stuff, it was probably a great thing. Starting cricket and again playing cricket in Scotland. I don't know how that happened either at that time. I don't know. You can probably count how many players there were at that point, but yeah, there you go. It's a great journey. From there, we kind of just it just kept going, to be honest with you. For me, like, I had a bit of break in between it, obviously concentrating on education and businesses after I finished playing, and just couldn't stay away. Had to come back in.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know how you've spoken about playing cricket and not mentioned your playing career. You debuted at 15. Like, that's insane. How did that feel?
Playing for Scotland at 16, you know, it was, how did I put it? How was it? When I was playing there, I didn't feel anything, oh my God, I'm playing with Scotland first team. But you know what you're like at 16. You're just oblivious to the whole thing. You know, you're just going, you're out, you're enjoying it. You're just happy that you're there. It kind of never sunk in that, oh my God, I'm playing for Scotland, you know, with the men's or anything, none of that. It was more like, for me, it was always about just enjoying myself and having fun with it. And it didn't really matter where it was and who was in front of me, kind of thing.
And then alongside the national team, you've obviously been really involved in your clubs at the moment. Am I right in thinking you coach for West of Scotland?
Yeah, so I'm coaching with West of Scotland, and I do the kids as well. I like doing the kids, to be honest, under 15s, under 17s Warrior in Glasgow. So they're the West side, so we kind of do I do the under 15s and under 17s with them as well. Really do enjoy that. So both sides with West of Scotland, obviously right now they're just doing a bit of work on their grounds, etc., in their clubhouse. So that journey with West of Scotland is where I started off, and after so many years, I ended up back where I started. Was great, and the club's just been fantastic.
And kind of what's it like to have that journey where you, like you say, go back to where it all started? Do you kind of have that moment of reflection where you're like, oh, when I was playing here when I was younger, I would never have thought that everything that I've done would have happened? Or
You do have a bit of that, to be honest. So you can't, when you actually sit down and you actually really think about your journey from where it started and where it's ended up, you always have this thing about West of Scotland. It's just a home. It's just home, if that makes sense. Only difference is right, we've got there's a lot of changes, obviously, in the teams. Obviously, when I first played, I was about 13, so we had like Craig Wright, Gregor Maiden, Stevie Gilmore. We had a great bunch of team. We had a really, really great core of team there at that point that we're representing. So I was lucky enough at that time, at a young age, I had these guys to kind of look up to. And they kind of just set the good standard, very good standard for us youngsters that were actually training with them and watching them.
and then speaking of those role models, you yourself now as a coach have such an active role in helping and developing the next generation of players. So you now taking on that role as, if you like, as a role model, especially going into UK Coaches Week and getting all of this focus on sports coaches, what does it mean to you now to be in that role to be a coach, as you say, taking all this inspiration from people who've played before you and that you looked up to?
I think, look, you see all that. I think I've been lucky enough to be around really, really amazing cricketers through my life, from club cricket all the way through to international cricket to county cricket. So even down at Durham, we were always with a good bunch of group of cricketers that actually ended up doing pretty well in their careers. With that sort of thing in mind, you've kind of noticed, you kind of realize personalities and what people are all about, and you see different people doing well at different stages of life, different scenarios in life, and it's just like kind of all that kind of experience that you see over time, you kind of just soak that in, and you kind of try to just, how do you put it, you kind of just try to transfer that when required. Look, a lot of the people, it's like completely different when you're actually coaching with international teams. Technically, you can maybe have a tweak here and there, but for them, it's more mental game plans, where they are, what they want to do, what they're trying to get out themselves, and everything. So it's completely different. So your coaching, real coaching, is down at your, for me, it's really real coaching as well. Like, got down at the kids level to develop them, and it's totally different. So I've been blessed enough to be involved with the whole system at the moment.
And yeah, talking about coaching the younger generation to now joining the senior team, do you find there's a difference between coaching the pathways, for example, and now coaching players who are a lot more developed in their game?
Look, I think when you're at the top, it's more got to do with trust between player and coach. How you can get to make somebody a lot better than what they really are as well. And sometimes it's just even having a conversation with them up top, just having a good conversation, keeping them level, keeping them on the ground, and on top of that is just making whatever you're doing with them fun as well. Enjoyable, change it. It's a bit more tactical in a lot of ways. Whereas in, I'm lucky where I get to work with a lot of spinners, so there's so much to talk about. Especially when you've got leggies, and thankfully right now we've got leggies throughout the system. from young all the way through. So like that conversation, as soon as you see another leg of that conversation, just happens all of a sudden. It's just one of those spinners thing, so it's kind of great that with spinners you're always developing. Cricket's just that sort of game. It doesn't matter how old you are, where you are, what you are. It's always about self-improvement, about what is it that you want to add to your game there. So that's where we come in and hopefully influence that as much as possible.
So I suppose then one of the themes of UK Coaching Week is holistic coaching, and I suppose that is what you've described. You take that all-round approach to a person, and that knowing that one size doesn't necessarily fit all, especially with a sport like cricket. Okay, for the listeners, Muneeb's just like curled his lip up at the idea of a one size fits all coaching style, which, yeah, I mean, I've done a little bit of coaching, like wickets and
Okay.
a little bit of school stuff. Not a huge amount of wisdom to impart on these poor children, but I totally agree on that, in that everyone just approaches the game differently. Everyone, I suppose, is coming from a different place to the game as well. Like, you've got some kids who've grown up with it, some kids who are newer, and then who maybe need a little bit more help. And then you've got some kids who've never done it before but are just so natural at it, which is kind of strange considering how unnatural the sport is. But yeah, I have insane respect for all communications because there's so many different ways that you could do it. Yeah.
But as long as it's based, as I said, at a young level, when you're coaching the 12, 13, you can, not actually younger, when you're coaching 7, 8 years old or kids around that age, 10, 11, and have not held a bat before, you can give them all the same drill kind of thing. So it's all that basic stuff where I understand when you've got the one or two people that actually understand the game a bit better. But again, your cricket does not kick in until severe. It does not kick in until you're actually competing. All that time that you're spending as a kid, it's all kind of gearing up for that moment and to be successful in that chance when you get to then go ahead and catapult forward. So it's like, as a coach, it's amazing that you see the work that happens, and I'm more aware of it now than what I was when I was playing. So now that I see the work that actually goes in behind the scenes to actually make this all work. For the kids to grow in and for us to have players to represent our country, it's amazing, and it's really hard work, especially with such little resources that we have in Scotland. It's not.
Yeah, when you see all of these, even county teams, I don't know, going on pre-season tours and things, and then you look outside at the weather in Scotland and you think, are we gonna start the season soon? I'm not sure. Yeah.
Okay. And it's just that sort of thing, like unfortunately we will get better, hopefully, as time goes along. It's just a matter of time. Things will fall into place and we will have more of a system around Scotland as well. And look, we've got a lot of experience now that are coming back to us as well. Kyle Kutzer, such a successful career he's had as well. He's a coach now, Level 4 as well. Hopefully we see that. See him up here at some point, and you've got the guys that will retire at some point that will influence the game up here again, and you'll get better and better, hopefully.
And speaking of better and better, Doug Watson's coming back from New Zealand.
He's here.
Well, he's here. Let me change that. Doug Watson is back from New Zealand.
Yes, he's here. He was you right last night, and it was great to see him. Great to
Oh,
see
have you
him.
had a catch up already?
Yeah.
Oh, that's really sweet. Straight off the plane. Were you there at the airport with a sign?
No. We just had a couple of things that we had a meeting and stuff, so with all the coaches, so we were there late last night. As he just got off his flight, he was straight into a meeting.
Wow.
Yes.
Whoa. That's okay. Yeah, that's a pretty solid
That's
work ethic.
Doug for you.
And speaking about Doug, kind of what's his influence been on you as a coach?
I think one of his biggest influences, I don't know, I've not actually spoke to him about, and there's been a few guys that have actually, even You had Mr. Berger, the last Shane Berger as well. And it's amazing how, when I first, as you see, I think I just love the competitive. He's competitive. Doug is. He's all about the team. He's all about the individual. You know, it's what that person needs. And it's all about, like, he's got this amazing, for me, it's all about everyone knows what they're doing, the roles that they have, the way he goes about it, and how he puts things across, and is equal across the board for everyone, the way he treats and the way he's got this thing. He just makes things happen. You know, it's like some coaches just have that, whereas in you, they can just come in, they're fresh, to just make things happen, you know, like they've got this thing about them that they make everyone work together. That's one of the biggest things. When they work together as a team, it's what you need.
For sure. And what impact do you think that's going to have on the squad with the World Cup? Not that far away now.
Doug's experience massive, you know. He's been around, his playing career, everything has been, you know, outstanding. Where he's been coaching. Like before this as well, he brings ample amount of experience, and I'm sure the way he's trying to balance everything out, team wise, and tactical wise, it will work.
So, are we expecting big things in the World
Look,
Cup?
expecting big things. We're always expecting big things, but giving so little.
Okay.
You
Yeah.
know, we're going to go and. Unfortunately, we're going to go and play, and I want to be positive, and I am positive because we've done it before so many times. Always will be. We are now going to play in the World Cup against Australia, England, and Afghanistan, I think, and Namibia. Now, look, we started training in January. We wouldn't have had any pre-season tours. Our training facilities are what they are. You know, nobody sees it, any of this. You know, we've got our teams that teams have just been training and whatever it is. It's we've got no games, we've got no matches to actually progress properly and keep the mojo and everything going in the team and stuff, morale, everything. We've just trained, and you know what that's like. You know, if you've ever been involved, hopefully, as a future going on, I think those things, when they start sorting themselves out, you'll see more of an increase in performance.
Absolutely. As you say, things are going to take time, and as we get better and better, I think that's only going to come through. Like with the women having such a good warm-up set of games for their global qualifiers coming up very shortly, and then obviously the men last year in the 50 over qualifiers got so close, like agonizingly close. It's not like Scotland are just this random little team that no one cares about. People care about Scottish cricket. And I think both men's and women's teams are really on the cusp of something quite great. And as you say, it's just going to take that little bit of extra time to get there. We might see it this World Cup, we might see it next World Cup, but I think we'll see it at some point. Is that the kind of general feeling that is within the squads?
I tell you, within the squad, it's obviously that's more of a, I think, a staff thing or behind the thing. It's more of a coaching staff thing to see where how we're progressing. I think for the guys that are actually playing, they're only concentrating on what's ahead right now, which is the World Cup. Guys are training pretty hard, trying to get in the best frame of mind they can and physical shape and everything else with it. So they're training pretty hard, just concentrating on the World Cup. This is what makes this squad so dangerous as well. And a lot of teams, look, whoever we will play against, they're going to take us 150% serious. You know, they're not nobody's going to take us lightly at all. And that's because of what we've created over the years now. You know, so hopefully that will continue, and we'll kind of keep progressing on that. The team that we've got right now, it's a great core, great bunch. And I think they will complement each other pretty well.
And how's the squad looking? Like, are we talking?
Oh, they're all fat and they're all just sitting.
Grim.
They're all pretty work. as hard as they can in what they're trying to do. And I hopefully they'll keep going the way they are. We've been out in Dubai recently and done pretty well out there and got what we needed to get out of that tournament. Now heading into it, we've got Holland and then straight into it, hopefully. The guys are looking in great shape, to be honest with you, and we've got pretty decent depth as well now in the side. We've got youngsters coming up. I'm going to say that right. The young kids here, obviously, unfortunately, for the limited resources we have, money-wise and everything else, these kids go ahead and the way they develop themselves just for the love of the game is amazing. And I think we are developing. We've been lucky enough to develop a lot of kids by in county cricket. That helps a lot. Some kids are down there. Some kids are on their own back, are playing league cricket down south. That are not even involved in the setups yet. So it's amazing how that sort of cultural still works so well. With us, and we're lucky that we've got it. Look at kids going away to Australia, to South Africa in the winter to come back to represent their country, off their own back. So it's good.
Exciting. Okay, I can't wait to find out what the squads are.
Yeah, it'll be good. It'll be good. Nothing as a shock. But as I will say this, everyone in that team, in that squad, they deserve to be where they are. And that's what we do as a coaches have, and the ones that are unlucky to miss out on these sort of games as well. Unfortunately, just it's just that sort of thing,
Yeah, a case where so many people could deserve it, but you can only put 11 people out there on that field. 12 if someone 12 if
Probably.
someone stacks it, but
No, yeah, pretty much, that's just the way it goes. But we're there. If you're taking 15, we're there as a 15 and coaching staff all work together pretty well.
that's good. I'm excited. I'm excited to watch the World Cup as well.
You're heading out there yourself?
I wish. I've got Taylor Swift tickets on like 9th of June, so it just
Doesn't fit in.
doesn't quite fit in, unfortunately. But I'd love to. Maybe if it was a bit closer, next one. If it's like, I don't know,
It's
somewhere.
only 4 hours. What is it? How many hours of flight? 5, 6 hours of flight?
To be fair, yeah, if you're going to the Caribbean,
Yeah.
yeah. I'd love to go to a game in Texas. I want to experience cricket in Texas. I don't know why. I just think that would be like insane.
Yeah, I think they're building a few. They've built a few stadiums there as well, haven't they? It'll be interesting where they end up in the next 10, 15 years. Could they,
For
I think,
sure.
because they end up getting a lot of players from the Caribbean, for instance, and West Indies in general. They get a lot of players coming over there to actually play in the US, which is pretty decent. And I think that's why I think there's a few good coaches out there as well. They will invest in the game pretty well.
Yeah, I think with the development of all the franchise leagues kind of across the world in general, there's obviously you've got Major League Cricket, but the number of franchise exploits, I suppose, across the world is clearly having such an impact on the international fixtures because so many players are dotting around the world playing in like the CPL and then the IPL and then SAT20 and the 100 and everything, like there's so many, and obviously the new Scottish T10 league that's coming up in August.
Get ready.
There's so many
Yeah.
that cricket in the world can only get better because all of these competitions are going to get so much more competitive.
Yeah.
Obviously, there is a separate question about what that actually does to the international schedule, but in terms of fan experience, having all of these different leagues to follow and following their favourite players in different I don't even climates, if you want to get really, really niche about it, like climates, pitches, etc. I think I've literally asked Neymar about her favorite kind of grass last week. So, like, there's so much you can get into it with all of this. new development and everything. But yeah, as you say, it's very exciting, and it'll be interesting to see what impact this T20 World Cup being in America and the Caribbean actually has on the rest of their cricket, especially, but global cricket too, I suppose.
It is where it is, to be honest. It's going to keep growing, as especially the T20. Look, we've got T10 now. When I was growing up, it was more test match. Do you know what I mean? And then 50 over came in. You know, it's amazing how it's developed, and as it's developed, obviously you've grown the numbers massively, and I think it's just going to keep going. I can't see this game stopping, if I'll be honest with you. I think it's such a great game. It's a great sport, and definitely a lot of the countries you're going to be wanting to get involved as a
Yeah,
business
so.
partner. Makes sense as well, you know, like it kind of brings in a lot of money.
For sure. Yeah, what if you had to name a team in the upcoming Scottish T10, what would you call it?
If I was to name a team,
Yeah.
no,
What would you go like Glasgow?
I'm terrible. What would I name them? What would I name them? The Hurricanes.
Glasgow Hurricanes.
Yeah.
I can
No,
see
not bad.
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hate it.
Glasgow Warriors.
Isn't that the rugby team? They exist. They might send you a lawsuit for that one.
Just change it. It'll be good. That's a good name to have. What would your name be?
Oh God, I don't like it when I get asked the questions back.
What would your name? What would it be?
Oh, if you're sticking with the alliteration, you could have something like Glasgow Giants, but I don't know if that's a bit NBA.
That's not bad. You can get away. Cause the giant.
I'd get away with it.
Yeah, well, that's a nice
Yeah.
name. Got a bit of a ring to it. Yeah, you can sell
Nice, thanks. I'll give
that.
it to
Delhi,
someone for a tenner, I reckon.
Delhi. This will be more than that, trust me. Hopefully, you get
Hopefully.
him. If you get the catch them at the right time, they'll pay more than £10, trust me. Especially on
50?
Saturday night.
Well, I reckon after naming the next Scottish T10 team, we will leave it there. Manny, thank you so much for coming on the
No
show. It's
problem.
been absolutely lovely to chat to you. Thank you again so much to Maniv for coming on the show. It was so interesting to talk to him about what it's like to be a coach and all of the work that goes on behind the scenes for what we see as fans on the field. Before I leave you today, I do want to talk to you about a phenomenal woman who I have the absolute privilege of knowing, called Bronwyn. I'm sure those of you who have come across her in the past couple of years, she's been in Scotland, will agree with me on that one. She came over from South Africa in the spring of 2021 to pursue her dream job as a lecturer at the University of Edinburgh. And I know some of my friends have had her, which is a tiny, tiny world, and she is just an incredible teacher. She has also played in Scotland's regional women's setup and scored heaps of runs for Rawhide Stortford that summer. Sadly, a year later, she was diagnosed with a rare and aggressive form of blood cancer. 6 months later, her doctors thought her to be in remission, but in the new year, she was told that she had a tumour in her brain, which, as you can imagine, was a shock to her partner Erica, and all of us at RHC. While things are looking a bit better, Bronwyn does need stem cells treatment in order to have more of a chance of surviving this cancer. Undergoing many more rounds of intensive chemo and recovery will mean she can't work for at least another year, and returning to South Africa will mean that she will lose access to life-saving cancer treatment. So, in her words, her life literally depends on being able to stay in the UK. As you can imagine, this is an incredibly stressful time for her and Erica, and she has said that setting up a GoFundMe is her absolute last resort at trying to secure financial assistance to ensure that she has a roof over her head while undergoing the rest of her treatment. If you are able to read and share Bronwyn's story to as many people as possible, that would go such a long way. The link will be in the podcast description and on social media for you to find out more. And if you are in a position to donate, I can't speak for Bronwyn, but I can speak for those of us at RHC who thank you so much for helping out our teammate. That is all from me today. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you again to anyone who is able to read and share Bronwyn's story. It really, really does mean a lot. If you are kicking off your season tomorrow, then go well. I hope you have a gorgeous day out. I haven't actually checked the weather forecast, so I think it's probably better if I don't, and I just send out some nice positive thoughts for sunny, sunny weather. Those of you who aren't playing cricket tomorrow will have Scotland Women to watch. Just a reminder that they're playing Sri Lanka, and that will be live and free to watch on ICC TV. I hope everyone has a lovely weekend and coming week, and I will see you very, very soon. Thank you again for listening. Bye bye.